Janet turns from the sink and boom, all at once her husband of nearly 30 years is sitting at the kitchen table in a white t-shirt and a pair of big dog boxers, watching her. More and more often she has found this weekday Commodore of Wall Street in just this place and dressed in just this fashion come Saturday morning. Slumped at the shoulder and blank in the eye, a white scruff showing on his cheeks, man tits sagging out the front of his tee, hair standing up in back like alfalfa of the Little Rascals grown old and stupid. Janet and her friend Hannah have frightened each other lately, like little girls telling ghost stories during a sleepover, by swapping Alzheimer's tales. Who can no longer recognize his wife? Who can no longer remember the names of her children? But she doesn't really believe these silent Saturday morning appearances have anything to do with early onset Alzheimer's. On any given weekday morning, Harvey Stevens is ready and raring to go by 6:45, a man of 60 who looks 50, well, 54, in either of his best suits, and who can still cut a trade, buy on margin, or sell short with the best of them. No, she thinks, this is merely practicing to be old, and she hates it. She's afraid that when he retires, it will be this way every morning, at least until she gives him a glass of orange juice and asks him, with an increasing impatience she won't be able to help, if he wants cereal or just toast. She's afraid she'll turn from whatever she's doing and see him sitting there in a bar of far too brilliant morning sun, Harvey in the morning, Harvey in his t-shirt and his boxer shorts, legs spread apart so she can view the meager bulge of his basket, should she care to, and see the yellow calluses on his great toes, which always make her think of Wallace Stevens having on about the Emperor of Ice Cream. Sitting there silent and dopingly contemplative instead of ready and raring, psyching himself up for the day. God, she hopes she's wrong. It makes life seem so thin. So stupid somehow. She can't help wondering if this is what they fought through for, raised and married off their three girls for, got past his inevitable middle-aged affair for, worked for, and sometimes, let's face it, grabbed for. If this is where you come out of the deep dark woods, Janet thinks, this parking lot, then why does anyone do it? But the answer is easy. Because you didn't know. You discarded most of the lies along the way, but held on to the one that said life mattered. You kept a scrapbook devoted to the girls, and in it they were still young and still interesting in their possibilities. Tricia, the eldest, wearing a top hat and waving a tinfoil wand over Tim, the cocker spaniel. Jenna, frozen in mid-jump halfway through the lawn sprinkler, her taste for dope credit cards and older men still far over the horizon. Stephanie, the youngest, at the county spelling bee, where cantaloupe turned out to be her Waterloo. Somewhere, in most of these pictures, usually in the background, were Janet and the man she had married, always smiling as if it were against the law to do anything else. Then, one day you made the mistake of looking over your shoulder and discovered that the girls were grown and that the man you had struggled to stay married to was sitting with his legs apart, his fish-white legs, staring into a bar of sun. And by God, maybe he looked 54 in either of his best suits, but sitting there at the kitchen table like that, he looked 70, hell, 75. He looked like what the goons on The Sopranos called a mope. She turns back to the sink and sneezes delicately. Once, twice, a third time. How are they this morning? He asks, meaning her sinuses, meaning her allergies. The answer is not very good, but like a surprising number of bad things, her summer allergies have their sunny side. She no longer has to sleep with him and fight for her share of the covers in the middle of the night, no longer has to listen to the occasional muffled fart as Harvey soldiers ever deeper into sleep. Most nights during the summer, she gets 6, even 7 hours, and that's more than enough. When fall comes and he moves back in from the guest room, it will drop to 4, and much of that will be troubled. One year she knows he won't move back in, and although she doesn't tell him so, it would hurt his feelings, and she still doesn't like to hurt his feelings. This is what now passes for love between them, at least going from her direction to his. She will be glad. She sighs and reaches into the pot of water in the sink, gropes around in it. Not so bad, she says. And then, just when she is thinking, and not for the first time, about how this life holds no more surprises, no unplumbed marital depths, he says in a strangely casual voice, "It's a good thing you weren't sleeping with me last night, Jax. I had a bad dream. I actually screamed myself awake."